Psalms, and indeed many people have read this who even have no interest in the Word of God, but they know Psalm 23 or know something about it. It has long been a comfort to the saints of God ever since David wrote it by divine inspiration. We have often found great consolation for our souls from this very sweet psalm. Let's ask God to bless us again as we go through this glorious psalm. Dear Father, it is such a joy to assemble together and to open the Word of God, the reading of John chapter 10, reading of our shepherd, reading of his love for the sheep, reading of how he laid down his life for the sheep, reading of how he has other sheep that must be taught the gospel, and those he would draw unto himself, so that there is in reality one shepherd and one fold. Lord, we have often read this precious, precious psalm, but we don't want to get so familiar with it that we can read it without being touched by the magnificence of our shepherd. And so this evening, though many of us could no doubt quote these six verses, this evening may this psalm be real and fresh, as though we had never read it before. And Lord, we ask that you'd feed your sheep this evening from this portion of Holy Scripture. We thank you for our blessed shepherd, for the love that he has always had for his sheep. And what a joy it is to be able to say by the witness of the Spirit, the Lord is my shepherd. The ever-existent God, he's my shepherd. Therefore I shall not want. Bless now as the word of God goes forth, and bless these who listen. May our souls rejoice in our shepherd, and may we find great comfort as we read these words that concern the shepherd and his sheep. We ask in the shepherd's name, amen. This is a magnificent portion of Scripture, to say the least. And it is very significant, the psalm that is before it and the psalm that is after it. I would call this three glorious psalms that kind of must be kept together, I believe. The Spirit of God has arranged the Word of God so that it is presented to us in an orderly fashion. And we must remember that these psalms, Psalm 22 I'm talking about, 23 and 24, they're not randomly selected to be together. There's a reason God in his providence arranged for these to be associated with one another. Psalm 22, we see Christ our Savior. There's no question about that. Psalm 23, we see Christ our Shepherd. There's no question about that. In Psalm 24, we see Christ our Sovereign. Go back to Psalm 22. Here's our Redeemer. There isn't any use in speaking about Christ Jesus being the shepherd unless we understand he's our shepherd because he's our Savior. He's our everlasting Savior. Look back at the beginning of Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You recognize those first words immediately. That's one of the great statements that our Savior made when he hung upon the cross of Calvary. Forsaken by God, afflicted by God. And in his agony, he made that cry. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God. He didn't say, Father. He said, my God. There's our substitute, being forsaken by God because he bore our iniquities in his own body on the tree. And God forsook him. And because God forsook him, because God poured out his wrath upon his only begotten Son, we will never be forsaken. He was forsaken so that all of those in whose stead he died will never be forsaken. And the work that God gave him to do, he finished. Now look at the very end of the psalm. Look at the end of the psalm, the last two verses of the psalm. It says, a seed shall serve him. This is a remnant. This is the elect of God. These are his sheep. And they shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Now look at the last verse. They shall come. They shall come to him, drawn by effectual grace. These sheep shall come to the shepherd, and they shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Or literally, he hath finished this. It is finished. Here are two statements that our Lord made from the cross of Calvary that are set forth here in Psalm 22. The first one literally, and the second one here in verse 31, he hath done this. That's what it means. It's finished. The Savior has finished the work that God gave him to do. We may comfortably believe that our Lord Jesus is our shepherd and that he will care for us. He will never desert us. He will never forsake his sheep. He will always guide us. He will always lead us. He will always direct us because he's the Savior who was forsaken by God for us. And the work of redemption that God gave him to do, he finished it. He finished it to the satisfaction of God. He finished it to his own glory. And we're his seed. You remember in Isaiah chapter 53, it says when he was suffering upon the cross of Calvary. And Isaiah 53 reads as though it was written right then when Christ was dying. He shall see his seed. He saw us. He's seen us from old eternity. We've always been his. He saw us with loving kindness. He saw his seed. And he died for his seed. And he finished the work of redemption. Christ our Savior. You have no right to take Psalm 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd, unless you understand he's the only Savior. It's no use going to Psalm 23 if you skip over Psalm 22. If you don't see the necessity for his death upon the cross of Calvary. This is how God can be just and justify the ungodly through the death of the Savior. But if you see him and believe him and love him as the Savior, then you can say with David, with great confidence, the Lord is my shepherd. And then we get to Psalm 24. I'll come back, of course, to Psalm 23. Here's God our sovereign, Christ our sovereign. Look at how verse 1 of Psalm 24 begins. The earth is the Lord's. It's the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that are therein, all of it. It all belongs to the Lord who saved us, Psalm 22. The Lord who is our shepherd, Psalm 23. He's the sovereign. I quoted yesterday a little bit of that song by Watts. He rules the world with truth and grace. He rules. He's the sovereign. The root word is reign. He reigns. He reigns over everything. Everything big and everything little. And there's nothing left out of his reign. Not in the whole world, not in your little world. In your life, in all the things that pertain to you, he reigns. He's the sovereign. There's nothing that hasn't been put under his feet. And the government is upon his shoulders. He bears full responsibility for the government of all the world, and he's conducting business right on schedule. He's the sovereign. Look at the last verse of this psalm. Who is this King of glory? Who is this sovereign? Who is this one who reigns? Well, he's the Savior of Psalm 22. And he's the shepherd of Psalm 23. And here he is, the sovereign. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now you stop and think about that. Don't you read over that word, just keep on going. Every time you see that word, you need to take a pause. You need to think. You need to reflect. He is the King of glory. He's not a pretend king. He's not a king with an empty title. He is the King who reigns over all things, over all the kingdoms of this world. He's the Savior, he's the Shepherd, he's the Sovereign. Now throughout the Word of God, as you well know, our Savior is revealed to us as being the Shepherd of his sheep, and blessed is that man, blessed is that woman, blessed is that boy, blessed is that girl, who with a heart of true faith can say, the Lord is my shepherd. In Genesis chapter 49 in verse 24, here's the very first reference to our Savior as being the shepherd. He's called the shepherd, the stone of Israel. He's the stone or the rock of Israel. And he would come from the mighty God of Jacob. That's what it says. The shepherd is from the mighty God of Jacob. In Isaiah 40 and verse 11, Isaiah the prophet tells us what Christ would do for his sheep. When he's revealed as the shepherd, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs, the little ones, the weak ones, in his arm and in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with child. You who are the people of God, you are who are the sheep of his pasture, does this not greatly comfort you that the shepherd holds you in his arm? And he holds you in his bosom. Oh my God, if I could always remember that, I'd have peace that passes understanding. I wouldn't have a trouble nor a care in this world. I'm in the arms of the shepherd. He carries me. He found me. He picked me up. He put me on his shoulders. And he's going on back to glory. And he's carrying me. Why, I shouldn't have a care in the world. No worry, no fear, no anxiety. If the Spirit of God would always remind me of that, he's the one who carries the sheep. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, the Lord says, the Father says, I will set up one shepherd over them. He shall feed them. He shall feed them, and he'll be their shepherd. He's the seeker of the lost sheep. And he's the one who finds the lost sheep. In Luke chapter 15, that's exactly what he does. Man had 100 sheep. The Savior told this story. Man's got 100 sheep. He leaves 99 out there in the wilderness. That's the Pharisees who in their self-righteousness thought they're right with God. But in reality, they're in the wilderness. Dry and barren. Ain't nothing out there for them. But they think they're right with God. But our Lord Jesus, he leaves them. He leaves them. And he goes after one lost sheep. That was you, wasn't it? That's me. Nancy and I were watching a little bit of a church service, a religious service, where we used to attend many years ago. Bunch of foolishness now. And she began to shed a few tears. She said, that's what God saved us from right there. He rescues his sheep. He doesn't leave us out there in the wilderness. We're lost. He seeks and finds us. He said, well, you know, we seek the Lord. I beg your pardon. No man seeketh after God's what the Scripture says. And the Lord says in Isaiah, I was found of them who sought me not. He sought us. And he found us. Where did he find us? In the miry clay. He found us wandering further away from him. He found us because we're his. We've always been his. And he came after us. Not going to let us perish. That can't be. Can't be that one of his sheep will perish. He picks us up. He teaches us the truth. He doesn't leave us in false religion. A lot of us came out of false religion. And really, all people who are saved by God's grace come out of false religion because we all think that we ought to be good to go to heaven. And that is false, false, false religion right there. It's the Lord himself who came after us and saw us. And Zechariah mentions this shepherd, chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, God said against my shepherd. Against the man who is my fellow. He's my equal. Wake up, sword of vengeance. Against that man who walked this earth for 33 or 34 years, who never did anything wrong, who obeyed God's law exactly. Wake up, sword of justice! Kill him. Kill him. Why? because he's got to die as the substitute for his sheep, and then they'll live forever. Smite the shepherd. That's what God did. God smote the shepherd. And then Joe read to us from John chapter 10. Our Lord Jesus, he describes himself as the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I am the good shepherd. And all the sheep say amen. Bless the name of our shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I wonder what his disciples thought when he said that. Because he had begun to mention to them that he must suffer many things of the chief priests, Pharisees. He must be put to death, and they didn't want him to die. And now he talks about giving his life for the sheep. And he says, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I love my sheep. And later he says, my sheep hear my voice. His voice is in the gospel. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. I love them. I've always known them. And they'll hear and they'll follow me. And of course, the Pharisees, they rebelled against him. And if you're really the Christ, why don't you show us a miracle? He said, you believe not. The reason you don't believe me is because you're not of my sheep. It's right where the rubber meets the road. He said, here's the reason you don't believe. You're not of my sheep. You never were, you aren't now, you never will be. You're not my sheep. I didn't come to die for you. I didn't come to save you. You bunch of rebels. You're in love with yourself. You think you're good people. You're not good people. You're bad people. And I'm just going to leave you just like I found you. In error. The reason you don't believe is because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. They hear. These bunch of rebels, they wouldn't hear. Well, who's going to hear? The sheep. The sheep will hear. Amen. They'll hear. So I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. Okay. Go on about your business then. And if I was real blunt, I'd just say, well, go on to hell then. You don't want to hear this kind of preaching, just go on. But somebody's going to hear it, and I know who they are. The sheep. But now I can't tell who the sheep are. I don't know who in this congregation's his sheep. So I'll just keep on preaching. And if you're one of his sheep, if you hadn't heard his voice yet, you will hear his voice. And you'll believe him. Our Lord Jesus, he is abundantly qualified to be the shepherd of the sheep. After all, he's the omniscient God. He knows all things. He's the omnipotent God. He can do all things. He has all power in heaven and earth. None of his sheep are ever in danger. It doesn't matter if they're on their sick bed or their deathbed. They're not in any danger. Never were. Never were. I don't know when David wrote this psalm. There's quite a bit of discussion among the expositors. Some say he wrote this when he was out watching his father's sheep. All by himself, and he's surrounded by quietness. He had time to reflect upon the Lord. Maybe that's when the Lord inspired him to write this. Others say David wrote this when he was in great trouble from King Saul or from Absalom, his own son who rebelled against him. He wrote it during a season of great distress. Well, that's a good time to remember that the Lord is your shepherd in a time of distress. Some say after a great victory. That's also a good time to remember that he's your shepherd. There are others who even say he wrote this in his sunset years as he's looking over his life. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know when he wrote this. The scripture doesn't tell us. But I do know the reasons that he wrote it. Number one, he wrote it to declare that the Lord of glory, that is Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Sovereign, is the shepherd of his people. He wrote it for that reason, so we know who the shepherd is. And secondly, he wrote it so that we would come to have confidence in him because he is the shepherd of the sheep. I read a really interesting story. Started telling yesterday at the funeral, but I didn't want to take up too much time. But a great congregation gathered together to hear a missionary who had come back to America, and he was speaking at a very large church somewhere in a city up north. And lots of people came out to hear this missionary speak. And among them was a great orator, an English orator, an actor who had a very great voice, who had often recited Psalm 23. With him was his business manager. The old missionary got up and he preached. And then at the end of his message, he just quoted Psalm 23. And most people began to weep. And the business manager leaned over to this orator and he said, I've heard you quote Psalm 23 many times, but this has never happened where people weep. It's never happened when you read or when you quoted Psalm 23. It's never happened that people broke out weeping. And the orator said, I can tell you the difference. The business manager said, what's the difference? He said, I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. He knows the shepherd. These words in these six verses, they're more than just words. This is a message to the sheep. Oh, be comforted. Be comforted here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the key to the whole thing. Tell me who your shepherd is, and I'll tell you if you're all right. And David says, I'll tell you who my shepherd is. He's the Lord. Well, then everything's all right. No wonder you won't lack any good thing. No wonder you're not going to want for anything. Because of who your shepherd is. Now, if your Jesus is weak and feeble and he wants to do some things and people won't let him and all that kind of foolishness and nonsense, well, you can't get any comfort from a Jesus like that. But if he's the Lord, if he's the Lord, if he's the sovereign, you can get great comfort from the fact he's your shepherd. Because he can't fail to do anything. He'll take care of his sheep. He always has and he always will. And David says with great assurance and confidence, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't say, I think he is, or maybe he is, or he's going to be one day, or I hope he is. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Now that's a blessed assurance right there. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Here's our confidence. The one who is our shepherd is the Lord. Everything about our salvation, redemption, sanctification, justification, glorification, all of it hinges on this. Who is our shepherd? He's the Lord of glory. He's Lord eternally. He made all things. And he's been made Lord because he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Peter said to that crowd on the day of Pentecost, you with your wicked hand, you crucified the Lord of glory. God has exalted him. God's raised him and exalted him and made him both Lord and Christ. Who's your shepherd? He better be the Lord of glory, because he's the only one that can do anything for the sheep. And if he doesn't reign over all things, there's no hope for you or hope for me either. If he doesn't reign over all things, when did he become our shepherd? Before the world began. He's the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The sheep were given to him, entrusted to him by the Father. Save my sheep, the Father said. And in the end, you'll see the sheep. Read it in Matthew 25. The sheep at his right hand, and to them he says, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Since when? Well, since we believe. No. Prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. That's how long he's been our shepherd. Now, when did I realize he's my shepherd? When he called me by his grace. And because he is my shepherd, I shall not want. I believe him. It's not that I have great faith. Understand this. It's not that I have great faith, but I have faith in a great shepherd. Can't you say that? I wouldn't say my faith is great. I pray for an increase of faith. But even the weakest faith that takes hold of the great shepherd is safe. Is safe. The Lord is my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall never lack for any good thing. Oh, how vast are his benefits. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In him we have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Let him that glorieth glory in this great shepherd. And then look at the second verse. And I love all this psalm. I was looking over this again today, and this just kind of jumped out at me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what I call that? Making grace. Making grace. Aren't you glad he makes you lie down? You'd think we'd do it naturally, but we won't. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and then watch, he leads me. doesn't leave me on my own. Now, find your way the best you can. That's Arminian error. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's effectual grace. So why? I'm the ruler of my own destiny. I'm the master of my own fate. No, I don't want that. I want Him to make me. Make me, Lord. Don't you want Him to make you? Because if He doesn't make me willing in the day of His power, I won't be willing. That's the truth. He makes me to lie down. Where do we lie down? Green pastures, the Word of God. Here's a flock of sheep here tonight. We're laying down in the green pastures. That's what we're doing. Lush pastures. Because it's the Word of God. And then He leads me beside the still waters. Not the troubled waters. Not fast rolling rivers that scare you to death. Wouldn't want to go tubing on them, be too dangerous. No, that's not where He leads us. He leads us beside the still waters. Oh, there's a calmness. There's a calmness in the Word of God, a calmness in the Lord that He gives to us. If you look at the news, everything's in an upheaval, isn't it? It's just like nothing good on the news. You know, one of the things that we liked about Japan, in Japan, their news, it's all entertainment. It's kind of funny. They don't major on the negative stuff, but you turn the news on here. Whew. Upheaval. Demonstrations. Violence, anger, all of that mess. And sometimes we'll watch a little bit of that and turn it off. Let me just be led by the still waters, quiet. You see, really, all this junk that's going on out here, it's a sad thing. It's a sad day. We all acknowledge that. The immorality, the perversion, the false religion out there, it's absolutely horrible. But for the sheep, He leads us beside the still waters. Nothing to trouble you. Don't be troubled. Don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. The disciples on the Sea of Galilee with the Master. The Master's in the back of the boat. He fell asleep. And in his sleep, He wills a storm. And the disciples, oh, like us, when we face a storm, we just go going to pieces. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And the sovereign, He says to them, O ye of little faith, peace be still. The wind stopped blowing. The storm's over. Dark clouds blow away. Blue skies and sunshine. Why did you fear? Why are you so afraid? Why you have such weak faith, He said. He leads us. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. In another psalm it says, He restored that which He took not away. We lost everything in Adam. But our Lord Jesus came and He restored everything we lost in Adam and infinitely more. He restored my soul. He saved me. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Every step I take is ordained of the Lord. Paths of righteousness, and he does it for his glory. And he says this in verse 4. Yea, yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And here's the reason. For thou art with me. And I said this yesterday, that really our whole journey of life is lived in the shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death. Death is all around us. But he says, I'm not going to fear any evil. And the reason I'm not going to fear any evil is because the shepherd is with me. Can anything happen to one of the sheep if the shepherd is holding that sheep in his arms? Cradling that little lamb in his bosom? Nothing truly evil can happen to the sheep. And maybe he won't cause the storm clouds to pass over. He might keep you in the storm. But like those disciples, don't forget, boys, the Savior, the shepherd, he's in the boat with you. And I'll guarantee you, the boat's not going down with him in it. And I'm in it with him. I'm in the good ship of grace. And the captain of my salvation is Christ himself, my shepherd. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's directing me. He's making me to lie down. He restored me. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death every day, not knowing what shall befall me, nor do you know what's going to happen to you. But he says, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Some say the rod is the rod of correction, the rod of chastisement. Well, he does chasten us when we need it. But I rather think the rod stands for the scepter that the king holds in his hand. This is what comforts me. He rules. He rules. He rules the world, as I said a while ago. If he rules over everything, then I don't have anything to worry about. Thy rod and thy staff. A shepherd's staff, of course, got a crook on it. And it's to pull a sheep back in with the rest of the flock. And I'm thankful he doesn't let us wander off. He's put that crook around my neck and gently pulled me back in a bunch of times. And you too. But also this rod and staff there, the numbering, that's the way they numbered the sheep and examined the sheep. Sheep been out all day and they come back in. The shepherd, you know, they pick up stuff out there when they're eating, briars, and they got to be careful that they're, well, these sheep are taken care of. And so the shepherd takes the crook of his staff and he takes hold of the sheep and he examines him. Make sure you're all right. And then he goes on into the fold. I'm going to tell you something. This may be a startling statement to you, but I'll tell you what, when God Almighty examines me, when he inspects me, he sees no sin. Can you get hold of that? He sees no sin. No iniquities in his people because the Savior bore them all. And he bore them away. And God sees us in the Lord Jesus. Thou anointest my head with oil. He refreshes us. Traveling through this wilderness, we often need refreshing. He refreshes us with His Spirit. And David says, my cup just runs over. Nancy's daddy used to have a little saying. He'd say, I have more blessings than a man can say grace over. In other words, I have more blessings than a man can really be fully thankful for. My cup runs over, doesn't yours? If we're so negative thinking, well, my cup's only half full. I beg your pardon. It's running over. You're just looking at it the wrong way. It's running over with the blessings of God. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. David says, my cup's running over. And I said, well, I'm going to move my cup under yours. Maybe I can get some of that in my cup. As I realize the blessings of God to me, maybe it'll help others realize that God's blessing them too. And then the last verse, he says, surely. And that's a word kind of akin to amen, or, you know, so often in the New Testament the Savior said, verily, verily, verily I say unto you. Here David says, he said, surely, verily, this is a truth. Goodness and mercy, I call them twins. These twins, goodness and mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. When I was formed in my mother's womb, 70 years ago, goodness and mercy were right there. And when I came out into this world and probably got my first spanking, maybe, and I started to cry, goodness and mercy, they were there. And all through my days of youth, falling out of trees, getting hurt playing, just like with you, goodness and mercy were there. Hey, nothing's going to harm you, not really. God sent these wonderful, blessed twins. Goodness and mercy. And goodness and mercy followed you. And they pushed you by God's sovereign grace to hear the gospel. And you heard the truth of Christ and Him crucified, buried, risen, exalted. And you believed the gospel. And goodness and mercy still there. See, they were there in your years of rebellion, in your years of unbelief, in your years of false religion. Goodness and mercy were there. When you used to tell me yesterday about the church y'all were in, goodness and mercy were there, really pushing you out. Pushing you out. At church we were, goodness and mercy were there. I said, you don't need to stay here. I'll get you out. All you got to do is tell the preacher believe in sovereign grace. You're not going to be worth anything around here anyway. Goodness and mercy pushed me out. Pushed me out of college. And they're still back there. Thank you, goodness. Thank you, mercy. That's God's goodness to me. That's God's mercy. And they'll follow me till I get to my deathbed or ever how God's already ordained for me to leave this world. And goodness and mercy going to say, here you go. Here you go. And goodness and mercy will take me to glory. They'll follow me all the days of my life. And David says this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, how can you be upset over anything when this is the way it is? And shame on us. Shame on me for doubting and having fears, being troubled. And I won't have any troubles. Why not? Because I have the Savior, Psalm 22. The Lord is my shepherd. The same one who's my Savior is my shepherd. Psalm 23 and Psalm 24. He's the sovereign. Isn't that wonderful? Now you go out of here tonight with a smile in your heart. And you can even have it reflected on your face. And Lord, don't let us forget this. Because these things do have a way of kind of seeping out of our minds, don't they? I know, because I'm just like you. Yeah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the sweetness of the Word of God. And, oh Lord, how glorious it is that you minister to your sheep. Thank you. We're the sheep of your pasture. We were lost sheep. You found us. We're the black sheep of the family in our iniquity and depravity. But you washed us. You robed us. We stand before you in the beauties of the King. Oh, blessed Lord, thank you for saving our souls. For Jesus' sake, I offer this thanksgiving. Amen.